Good morning. My name is Natalie Gochner. This is Both Sides of the Aisle, and I am so happy to be in the studio today for a spirited conversation with State Senator Jim DeBacchus on the left.
Great to be back with everybody. It's been a summer of separation.
Yeah, it has. Lots of traveling. And on the right, Representative Dan McKay.
Good morning, Natalie.
Great to see you guys. Jim, where have you been? You've been traveling a little bit?
I've been down to visit the homeland in Mexico.
I love it. Dan, anything new in your life?
Sure. Tons. I got six kids. Everything is new in my life.
Always happening.
Every day.
Well, we're going to start out with a very complicated topic, healthcare. We learned from our president that it's complicated.
Who knew?
Who knew? Yeah.
And I was in Washington last week. That's why I missed the show. And I went to an American Enterprise Institute conference or just seminar. And Mike Lee presented. Senator Lee, I was there for another reason, but I got to see Senator Lee in action, and I was so, he did a great job, but boy, did he create news this week, Jim and Dan.
Look, I think it is so weird that Obamacare is going to be preserved forever. This is never going to come off the table now because of Mike Lee, because he couldn't get his draconian plan, because he couldn't take health care away from enough people, he voted in effect to keep Obamacare there. It just seems as though there is some justice out there in the universe.
Dan, there's a lot of ways to break this down, but first tell us, like, policy-wise what happened, and then break down the politics for us.
Well, what it turns out is that Republicans ran for 7 years on repeal and replace or repeal Obamacare. I think mostly it was let's repeal, especially in Utah. But it's not just Utah. You could trace across this country. And it was really interesting when I thought Mike Lee said yesterday on the news, he was saying, look, every single member of Congress who is in office today in the last, you know, in their last election or in their last several elections, if you're a House member, ran on, we are going to repeal Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And there was a nationwide mandate, whether you agree with that or not, there was a nationwide mandate that turned control of Congress from the Democratic side to the Republican side, both the House and the Senate. And you can argue that the American people resonated with that message and it needed to be done. And here you have a Congress that was unable to do anything despite being in, you know, the position to do something about it. And what it bugs me about it, and this is why, you know, Jim talks about it being weird, it absolutely drives me crazy that these guys can run on this as their platform, but then when it comes time to do it, you start to realize that there are a few who actually, despite running that way, totally disagree with themselves. And they decide they're going to go out or disagree with themselves on their campaign message, and they're just going to throw the American people and their election campaign and the people who elected them down the proverbial political drain.
So
and that bugs me.
Are you mad at Republicans or are you mad at Mike Lee?
No, I'm not mad at Mike Lee at all. In fact, I think Mike was right. Mike was saying, this is not replace. This is not repeal. This is not anything else. Really, all it is Obamacare 2.0.
Yeah.
And he's right on that. And I think if there's a way to have done it differently, it should have been Republicans for the last 7 years working with hospital and other providers to actually make the Affordable Care Act affordable. And that is the one thing that did not happen in American healthcare. It did nothing to make healthcare affordable. And everybody wants to complain and say Obamacare was terrible, it was this and that, but the Republicans, when given the opportunity, did nothing to make it affordable. Yeah. All they did was trim a few things off the edges and call it a repeal bill. That's not a repeal bill. Mm. That's not reboot. That's not change. It is
it
politics.
It doesn't sound like great public leadership to me. This sounds like party of no. This sounds like, you know, endless bickering. It sounds like partisan politics.
Yeah.
And you know what kills me? Dan is absolutely right, and he's not right that often, so I like to point it out. This Republican plan had no provision for cost savings, which is the cliff that
is facing. Which
is
what's wrong with Obamacare.
That's right. Yeah.
So it just was, it didn't make any sense except to get a political win. And not as though the Democrats are beyond doing that. But one other thing, Natalie,
sure.
I could do it. Looking forward, I am begging you, Governor Herbert, and I know you listen to us religiously. Obamacare.
In the big black car in the back seat, listening to both sides of the aisle.
Obamacare is here to stay. The repeal thing isn't going anywhere. It's already dead. Utah, take the $747 million a year. Take care of the homeless problem. Stop the ideology which said, you know what, it's going to fall apart. We're not going to take it. We need a special session immediately. We need to join Arizona and Colorado and Nevada and Montana, for goodness sakes, and New Mexico. We need to take our share of Medicaid expansion. All the excuses are over. Take it this week. Governor, do your job. Call a special session. And let's help 127,000 poor Utah families get medical care that we've already paid for.
Emily, everyone should know, we just copy and pasted the Medicaid rant from the last like 4 years of Jim's.
I'm going to keep doing it until the governor gets off his dithering.
With all due respect, it made a lot of sense.
Actually, it's the opposite of what needs to happen.
Okay, let's hear your case.
Maybe Obamacare is here to stay because politicians are too busy writhing their hands to actually deal with the issue. But when you look at parts of healthcare that are optional, and people pay for them out of their pocket because there is no insurance coverage for it. When you look at those kinds of things, you have had a stagnation in growth of pricing because those are optional cares and insurance doesn't cover them, Medicaid doesn't cover them, none of those types of things. And I'm talking about laser eye surgery. You talk about some of the things that are just optional. You get very little insurance participation in those issues. Prices have maintained around cost of living more than healthcare is anything that's required by insurance. And so what I argue, and this is the exact opposite of where Jim wants to be, you want to do something about the cost, we've got to fix and restore the market in healthcare. Right now we have so much regulatory burden in healthcare that it is impossible with compliance measures the way they are now for them to provide, quote, affordable healthcare.
Yeah. It does feel like a mess to me. On all fronts.
But
while all this was going on, I was sort of counting all the things that were happening in my own personal life that were wrong with healthcare. You know, like even like last night, I got a bill that, you know, from a collection agency that I hadn't paid $7.50 on a wrist brace after a bike accident I had. That a wrist brace I didn't need, and I didn't know that I hadn't paid. And $7.50 to who? And I'm just like, what is this?
That.
It's crazy.
Everybody's had that, though. Everybody's gotten that nasty.
Well, I know.
I think I got one 5 years ago. My son had a surgery up at the U, and we got it because, you know, we forgot to pay for the Band-Aids or something.
You don't know what you have to pay, what you don't have to pay. You don't know why you're getting all these things in the mail.
Well, and that's – so, again, if
regulation.
They were going to do something,
yeah,
it's regulation. But I would love to see a regulation that is consumer-oriented, not insurance company or hospital provider-oriented. What about when you walked in, Natalie, if you knew what the price of your procedures and who all your providers were and what bills you were going to get at the end of the process?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Imagine the idea. Trivago. And you say, this is what we want? And then there's the University of Utah Medical Center, there's IHC, there's this, there's that. Right now, we're witless. What choice do we have?
We only have a minute left in this segment,
and I don't know
how to transition away from healthcare, but I am sick and tired. I'm tired of talking about healthcare at this point,
but
guys.
But not sick.
Hey, really quickly, we have President Trump in the last week doing his Made in America campaign, and it rang a little bit hollow because just some easy reporting was able to show all the goods that are not made in America that are sold by the Trump enterprises. Tell us.
Utah was featured. You know, we have our own, doggone it, I'm going to blow the name. I'm going to know. What's our flag company here in Utah?
Nu Skin, no?
No, the flag. Colonial Flag. Colonial Flag was featured there. And there was a great little display about Colonial Flag, made in America type of deal. And it was awesome, I thought. You pay a little bit more.
And you get made in America.
But you get made in America. And I always shop at Colonial because I like their stuff.
You're good. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Natalie Gochner, joined by Senator Jim DeBacchus, Representative Dan McKay. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about the 3rd District race.
You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle on KCPW. For podcasts of more local shows and lectures, follow us on iTunes or visit the Local Shows tab at kcpw.org.
This is Dan McKay on the right.
This is Jim DeBacchus on the Bernie Sanders middle.
Natalie Gochner in the political center, and this is Both Sides of the Aisle. Guys, just let's get off of national news. But just before we do that, let's just take a little bit more on Trump and think about
President Trump,
and think about what comes next. So I've been on hoping for the path of early impeachment, and it hasn't really happened. But if you just go out the 3 years, does this guy run for reelection? And I can't imagine we'd have two terms of President Trump.
No, there's no doubt there's two terms of President Trump.
Jim.
No doubt.
Keep your eye on Stewart and Mia Love. Okay. If they start to turn, and I'm watching Stewart, and he was really anti-Trump, then he jumped in, and now he's backing away. Because when those House Republicans, as we get closer to 2018, when they see their seats may be in jeopardy by the buffoon in commander, they're not going down with the ship.
You're right. Chris Stewart might only win by 3% or 30% this year. I don't know.
Well, Chris Stewart and Mia Love as the bellwether things to watch.
I don't think that's where it's at.
Watch. I'm telling you, they are politicians. And when they start backing away from Trump,
I'm going to be watching the talent that's on the sidelines in the Republican Party that could take him on, and the same in the Democratic Party. Now, my husband the other day was saying, "Like, who is the talent on the Democratic side?"
That's a big mystery. Cory Booker could be president like that.
I don't think so. And there are a lot of people who, and this has been written before, there are a lot of people on the Democratic bench who would like to be president, who cannot because of, they feel like their background doesn't get in there. Mm-hmm. There's a long list of issues, right? And I don't know what Cory Booker's issue is, but they fielded him. They worked him pretty hard to be president this last time.
Yeah.
And he wasn't interested.
It's going to be fun to watch. Guys, let's take a second and talk about the Hatch race. Salt Lake County Councilwoman Jenny Wilson announces her run. On the Republican side, we have Derek Miller, who's talked a lot about it. I've been hearing whispers about Chris Stewart making the jump over to the Senate side. And then you have people like Clark Ivory, who's fresh home from an LDS mission president service and has a ton of talent and a very successful company. Someone like that could enter the fray.
Romney or other.
Yeah, Josh maybe, Dan, you're so politically, you're a political follower, genius, whatever.
I read too much news.
Yeah, what is the timing here for Senator Hatch? Because everyone would have guessed that he would have announced already, right?
But see, the longer he's fundraising and longer he's out there and making issue of himself and he's in the press and that kind of thing. I think the more he's trying to just scare away the field so he can pick his replacement.
So if it weren't the dynamics we have currently, he would have already announced he would run for office.
Yeah,
run for reelection. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done that. Your sense is he'll delay as long as he can.
I think he's announced.
You think he will?
I think he's already announced. He's already.
I know he said that, but it's not. I don't see it that way. I see it as him kind of saying, I'm still important, I'm still relevant, I'm still in the field, but I actually don't think he's going to run.
Interesting. Well, they made a national issue of it a few weeks ago. I think it was Colbert Report. Not Colbert Report. What do they call it? It's his show anyways, a late night show. And they showed...
You mean the Pile on Trump show?
They showed, the Pile on Trump show. But they showed Senator Hatch. He literally was being read verbatim comments from a staffer. And I think if that kind of story spins up more frequently, mm-hmm. in other words, if people get to know the Senator Hatch, the rest of us know... Mm-hmm. where he is not as capable as he once was. If people get to know that side of Orrin Hatch, I think at the end of the day, you're going to see a push for change from the state of Utah.
Yeah. Jim, color commentary here.
100% for Orrin Hatch to get the Republican nomination. The Democrats cannot name a list of anybody. Jenny Wilson has a shot. Young, vivacious, able to raise some money,
Experienced.
Oh, a shot at office. Sorry, I thought you meant she was Second Amendment friendly. Sorry.
I'm saying Orrin Hatch is vigorous. He may be a little old, but boy, he's good at carrying that standard bearer. Heaven help the Republicans if they dump them.
Yeah. Okay, then we have the 3rd District race. This is Jason Chaffetz's seat that he resigned from. We have Provo Mayor John Curtis, and we have Chris Herod, and we have good old
Other guy.
Boston Celtics son.
Tanner-age.
Tanner-age.
The golden boy.
This is looking like it's swinging in John Curtis's favor. That election will be, the primary will be August, I can't remember, 18th or something?
Yeah.
Mid-August. So, what do you, Jim, what are you saying there?
Look, I don't want to, it's not my way, actually, to say things about people.
Really?
Well, I just mean people, governor and above, I think are fine, you know, because they're big boys and girls. But, I mean, Representative Herod, I just want to say as kind a way as possible, he is a tin foil fringe guy. He would be a disaster for the state of Utah. He has announced he doesn't want a Russian investigation into what Trump did. Now, right or wrong, don't you want to know what the Russians were doing, if they're preparing to do it again, and if they subverted the entire American democratic system? How can you run and say, I don't want to know, I don't want to know? That seems preposterous.
Dan, did you overlap time with Chris Herod in the legislature at all?
I did. Okay. One legislative session with Chris. And Chris actually sat next to me on the House floor. So
you're your pals.
I know him pretty well.
That actually matters.
What are you breaking the odds in this primary for these three Republicans?
I think the race is between John Curtis and Chris Herod.
Okay.
And I think it will break Chris Herod's way, is my guess right now.
And the political middle, I would much prefer Mayor John Curtis because of his, sort of productive middle tendencies.
Middleness. and I will say what it will highlight is, which is what I have been saying for a long time, which is people don't recognize this, but the primary voters are not your centrist of the party.
Mm-hmm.
They are your far, I would argue.
Yeah, and that's got to be working.
It is your far right side, and it does not help Curtis. So I think, in my opinion, because of Curtis's well-known name recognition, et cetera.
And his socks.
And his socks. I think he has peaked.
Okay.
And so as a result, there's room in there for a Tanner or a Herod.
Interesting.
But see, the thing about Ainge, and I'll say this, is the media stuff is starting now. I mean, the commercials have started and those kinds of things. And I have not been terribly impressed with anybody's media presentation.
Okay.
It's not like anybody's campaign has gone out there to win it. They've just, they've all raised about $100,000, give or take here or there. And one candidate has more money, so they loan themselves some money. But there's really nothing impressive coming out of this race.
Yeah.
How would you characterize, because I heard politically?
He's one with me, and I'm down with that.
Hey, guys, this is mostly a Utah County district, and we had big news, I'll say, from my institute, Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute, this week about Utah County population projections. Front page coverage, both papers. Utah County in 2065, 50 years from now roughly, will be about the size of Salt Lake County.
Mm.
You're going to have these two mammoth counties. Utah County, Dan, I know you live close to the boundary, is going to change.
It is.
It's going to become more like Salt Lake County.
Provo, it will be interesting because, you look at the head of nationally, the Mormon Church, right, is Salt Lake City. And you'd say in the state, it's the center of the state in some respects from a political perspective.
Well, it's the seat of government.
It's the
center of transportation, center of the financial industry.
But you can take the analogy of that and put it in and Provo, the idea that Provo itself could be like downtown Salt Lake is or like the avenues is a really interesting demographic.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's going.
Jim, I want to hear your thoughts on it, but the real sort of demographic thing going on here is they have a higher fertility rate, larger family sizes. They have a buildable land supply.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of jobs and activity shifting to the intersection of these two counties.
Where does it go, by the way? Where are the big plots of land in Utah
west
County?
Well, it is on the northern end.
It's like Eagle Mountain.
And it's west of Utah Lake.
Around that way.
Yeah.
So that is going to... I mean, I was sitting down with some... What do you call those kids? Like, they're in their 20s now. They're...
Millennials,
yeah, and I said, if I were looking, I would go. I mean, they were talking about development and land and stuff. I said, when do we go west instead of south? Tooele It just seems to me that you look 50 years out, what's going to happen out that way? Because that's the same drive as Sandy.
Sure. And Tooele, you know, in truth, all of the ring counties have significant growth,
whether
it's Juab, Morgan, Wasatch, Tooele.
Tooele's seen the same thing.
The real story of the long-term projections was Washington County, most rapid growing county in the state, Utah County, big growth, and then the ring counties. But the thing that the interesting dynamic to me is that power shifts south.
Yeah. Mm.
Political power shifts.
Yeah, I will say this, and this has been very, very interesting.
You're going to have to go past 21st South, Jim.
Well, leadership.
Eventually, if you
want to
be happening in this state.
I'd say leadership, if you look at leadership in this state, let's just run down the top offices, right?
Mm-hmm. Governor.
Senator Lee, right?
Mm-hmm. Alpine,
Utah County. Governor Herbert, Utah County. Greg Hughes, Draper, but just north of Utah County.
He can hit a golf ball over the line.
His city goes into Utah County, right? Draper is. So you start looking at our congressional representation, and we already have at least two currently because we had Chaffetz and Mia. I mean, you start to see that Utah County really is the center politically. And interestingly, I think House leadership, Senate leadership in Utah goes that way also. You need the Utah County Republican Caucus, or else you aren't getting elected to leadership.
Yeah,
I don't need them. Can I point out what Utah County needs to do to grow up? There was a glaring, horrendous situation. So this teenage suicide thing.
All of our Utah County listeners need to tune in.
Both of them.
It just bugs me, and I call Barb. Barb Young and Steve Young, and I said, you guys help me with this. We need to do something. And then I kind of got out of their way and John Williams' way, and they took a beautiful old home in downtown Provo. They restored it, and they called it Encircle. And it's a very Utah County kind of drop-in place, mostly for high school kids who are LGBTQ in Utah County. More than 100 kids are showing up. The top was for counseling for families that have this situation. And the kids over the last 6 or 7 months, you can't imagine how cool this has integrated into Utah County.
A real success.
It's a terrific, amazing success. So they applied. They were in the Freedom Festival parade. Everything went fine. 100 kids are there getting their float ready. They're set. These are kids that get bullied every day in school. That night, somebody called and said, we're with the board, and we've decided, really, we don't want your kind in our parade. We're revoking your marching parade. How heinous on so many levels is that? Utah County, you want to grow up. You want to be big. You want to continue to attract those kind of national companies and the best developers and the best minds. You got to get out of this parochial, keep your standards, your values, your religious thoughts, but understand that there are other worlds and you have to be welcoming to everybody, especially your own darn kids.
That's a perfect launch into gripes.
Well, yeah, it is, and you make a great point, and I don't think it'll happen next year. I think there was a misstep there, and I think they'll recover. But
they haven't said that yet.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. Hey, guys, we do need to go to gripes. But
I did mine, clearly.
Oh, well, I can't go off the air today without us talking about John Sr. and medical marijuana. We need you to talk on that, Jim.
Yeah, that was so...
We'll do short gripes.
Don't you just love old people? Because they just put it out there. Huntsman said, I have this terrible pain. It hurts. Why the hell wouldn't I?
He took on University of Utah Health Sciences. Now he's taken on the Food and Drug Administration. FDA, John Sr.'s after you.
Well, and it's not just the Food and Drug Administration. I think the most recent large entity to come out against the measure was who? The LDS Church.
Yeah. Exactly.
So to see John Huntsman Sr. with, you know, the newspaper and stuff... It's so weird.
John, I'm coming by. I'm picking up $1 million check on the ballot initiative. And also, I've got a friend that's going to bring you something. It won't be tobacco, though.
Dan, do you have a quick gripe?
Yeah. You know, my quick gripe is there just is never enough time in this show. We have so much to talk about. Tune in here. Support KCPW. Come on, help us out.
That's great. And I'm not going to do a gripe, but I'm going to celebrate RSL player Luis Silva's goal against Manchester United. I was at the stadium this week. We had the world soccer team. You guys, I've lost your attention.
Sorry.
I'm trying to be colorful here. Man, you was in town.
You're talking
Luis
sports.
Luis Silva scored. Ooh,
we're talking sports.
Soccer, you know. All right.
I'm impressed you got somebody's name right because I couldn't do it.
Oh, Natalie's fanatic.
I know.
When it comes to soccer, I'll get the names right.
Yeah. You're okay, right. I'm sorry.
Okay, full attention.
Sorry, totally paid attention.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, we've got to go. Show's over. You've been listening to Both Sides of the Aisle.
No, I want to hear it. Just extend the show, Emily. Wait,
Luis Silva
saying?
Of Real Salt Lake scored a brilliant goal against Man U at Rio Tinto Stadium. It was a thing of beautiful.
Manchester United.
Oh, okay. You know that? All right. Sounds like a gay bar.
All right, guys.
Everything's
I've been joined
like a gay
by.
Bar.
Oh, yeah.
I've been joined by Senator Jim DeBacchus, Representative Dan McKay, program produced by Emily Means. Thanks for putting up with us, Emily. Have a great day.